praise his name.
Amen.
We're going to turn to Romans this morning. And I was in prayer this morning. I was like, well, Lord, if I start a Bible study, or if I were to teach a Bible study, or if I were to talk to the unlearned, the unchurched, what would I say to them this morning? And he said, well, you need to tell them why they need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So the name of my lesson is this morning, why we need the Holy Ghost. I thought about this, Mama. I said I could call it Why We Need the Holy Ghost for Dummies, but I didn't want to kill anybody. So I just said, well, why I need the Holy Ghost? Why we need the Holy Ghost for sinners? But none of us are sinners this morning, but I'm just going to talk about it, and it'll probably be more of a refresher for people who know why they have the Holy Ghost. But sometimes it's just good to talk about it and to remind ourselves why we need the Spirit and why we have to be so careful about making sure that we keep him.
Amen.
And that he doesn't leave us. David, well, let's turn to Psalms first. Psalm 51. You heard me teach as of late. This has been like one of my favorite songs. Because it's so much in here. And I said, yeah, so there's a reason David begged God not to take the spirit from him. He was earnestly praying, Lord, I know I've done what I've done. In this instance, you know, the prophet had come and told him about himself as far as his sin that he had done with Bathsheba. Like I said, I think everybody on here knows that story, so I don't have to go into that. But David is praying, and it occurs to him that although God means for the Holy Spirit to take permanent residence within us, when we get the Spirit, it's supposed to be permanent. Because once we have the Spirit, it's supposed to carry us into eternal life. But David realized that, oh, there are things that I'm responsible for in my life so that the Spirit doesn't leave me.
Yes.
And it was imperative to him. And verse 11. And I'll read it in the New and Living Translation and in the New King James. In the King James Version, he says, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He said, please don't do that, Lord, because he realized he needed to always have access to God. And in the New Living Translation, it says, do not banish me from your presence. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. We don't ever want to put ourselves in a position that would cause God to have to banish us.
Yes.
From his presence. We need the Holy Spirit. And I think sometimes, you know, as Pentecostal people, when we get to talking about the Spirit, it doesn't necessarily go left, but I think we get kind of lofty about it. And we leave those who really need to understand why we need the Spirit, or we leave them behind because we assume that they know, oh, you gotta have the Holy Ghost. But if I just walked in off of the street,
right,
and I'm unchurched, I have no idea why do I need the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And it occurs to me because so many people have knowledge about God. They know, oh yeah, God, he's the man upstairs, you know, whatever title they give him, you know, the big guy or the, you know, all these titles that people give him. They know because I think, I can't think of his first name, but last name, Wagner, he's a preacher. He does a lot of devotional stuff and everything. He says that everybody has an innate need for God, whether they realize it or not. He said even the biggest atheist, when they get ready to get into a car crash, we'll call on God.
God, amen.
All of a sudden, God becomes somebody that they know to call on.
Amen, yes.
So with that being said, everybody has a knowledge of God. They've even heard of Jesus, and they know about God. And, you know, so they develop this worldly sense of security. It's a false sense of security. Oh, I know who God is. You know, I believe the Bible, you know, but there are bits and parts of it, you know, I don't agree with, but I just take the stuff that I like. You know, and I'll just run with it, and you know, God knows my heart. He sure does.
Yep. Yes, he does.
Which is why you need the Spirit.
Yes.
So this lesson came to me that I need to explain to people, and I don't know who will be listening or who this message might reach, but let me tell you why you need the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
It's not something that you get, you know, we just catch the spirit and he throws us on the floor, or we fall out, pass out, and, you know, I grew up in a Pentecostal church and I've seen some things. I remember we were in Germany, and we went to some crazy church. It was in England, and the people were running past, they were running around, and it was just, you know. So I thought to myself, well, you know, I think the world also has they have stigmatized what it means to be filled with the Spirit, because they've seen people handling snakes and, you know, people, you know, running around. You know, there was a pastor on the news the other day because he choked a woman, you know. Just all kinds of craziness. Under the guise of being under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit serves a purpose he's in the world today. And it's he's a person, he's one of the Godhead. And, you know, I don't have, you know, the vast knowledge of Bishop Smith, so I'm not going to get into all of that, but we just need to know he is a person. And he comes and he indwells with us, and he dwells with us today, and he will remain in the earth throughout all eternity. And he's over the church right now. But if we turn to Romans now, I'll get to my scripture. Romans, the 8th chapter. And I wrote down some points, and they came straight out of Romans. Why we need the Holy Ghost. And the first point is that we need the Holy Ghost because the Spirit gives life and frees us from the power of sin that leads to death, which is eternal separation from God. So it is not just enough to know about God. We need the Spirit because it is under the operation of the Holy Spirit when we believe on Christ that takes us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, and we have eternal life. Because until we have the Spirit dwelling, and I feel like I'm getting ahead of myself, but until we have the Spirit dwelling in us, we are separated from God. And while we are lying in our cribs, although my son never slept in one, you know, crying for our mothers to feed us, we are separated from God before we even utter our first words, simply by being born into the world, which is cursed. And since we're born after Adam, we are all, we come out of Adam's DNA, we are born separated from God. So that's the first point right there. We're separated from God, and we need a way to get back to God. And it is not enough to know about God. It's not enough to come to church. It's not enough, you know, my grandmama praying for me. You know, my mom and daddy brought me up. You know, I serve God at home. That's a whole other sermon. That's not enough. You must have the Holy Spirit in order for him, because you need that operation of the Spirit to take you so that you're no longer separated from God. So Romans, we can start the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So in the New Living Translation it says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Why? Because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. You must have the Spirit free you from that. You don't just automatically become exempt from going to hell because you profess to know God. Yeah. You need an operation that only happens through the Holy Spirit. You must have the Spirit. Right? So that's the first point. The second point is that the Spirit gives us an alternative way to live. It is going to be awfully hard for you to live for God and to obey the will of God and to walk according to his statutes and his purposes if you don't have the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you don't know how. Unless you have the Spirit working in you and bringing back the word of God to your remembrance, you're not going to know how to walk after the will of God. You're not going to understand his purpose for you. Because until the Spirit comes and does that work on us, we're still separated. So the Spirit gives us an alternative way to live. He leads us away from our sinful nature. He's always trying to pull us back. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. And begins to show us how to align ourselves with the will of God, leading us to a life of peace with God versus being at enmity with God or being an enemy of God. I don't care how much you love Jesus in your heart. Until you have the Spirit, you, my brothers and my sisters, are enemies of God.
Yes, that's right.
Because your very existence without the Holy Spirit is diametrically opposed to God.
Yes.
Because you are separated from Him until the Spirit comes and does His work in you. It says, leading a life of peace with God away from death, which is eternal separation. So, I need the Spirit in order to be even reunited with God the way that He intends for me to be. Because when He created Adam and Eve, we were supposed to be united with God. We're never supposed to be separated from God.
Right.
But because Adam and Eve did what they did, everybody born after him is separated from God. They separated themselves from God. We don't get to skip that step. You know, that we have to accept, not only do we have to believe the word of God, but we have to also be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because He comes and does the work. So let's look at Romans 5. So we're still in Romans 8, 5 through 9. And it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit, you have no other guidelines. You have nothing else to go on. You're going to, when we still, even some of us with the Spirit, we still deflect back to what we know in our flesh. Because the Spirit is He's always doing a work in us. And we're always going to be changing until Jesus Christ comes. And He gives us our ultimate change, which is our immortal body. I'll get to that point in a minute. And it says in the New and Living Translation, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Because you have not allowed the Spirit to come in and give you something else to think about.
Yes.
So that's why, to add to your knowledge of God, you must have the Spirit. You know, what do these things even mean? But those who are controlled by the Spirit, this is the New and Living Translation, think about things that please the Spirit. So I must have the Spirit working in me for that. So back to the King James Version, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, and I just told you that death is separation, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Mm-hmm.
New and Living Translation. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace, right? Letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Separation from God, because there's even a scripture where God tells them, you know, your sins have separated you from me.
Yes.
You can't come to God and live any old kind of way. You must live the, what do they tell you in court? You have to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah.
That's the word of God. I must live the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and nothing in between. And in order for me to do that, I have to go under the operation of the Holy Spirit to allow Him to work in me. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Living carnally minded leads to death. In other words, the things that come out of me will destroy me.
Right.
Because my nature is sinful.
Yep.
Unless I allow the Lord to change me through the power of the Holy Spirit. Good morning, Sister Gamble. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, this is why, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It can't do it. You know, if you try to live a life for God and you are yet not filled with the Spirit, you're going to have a hard time.
Yes.
You cannot control this flesh. That's what the law, you know, that's why God had to give us something better. And the law of Moses was a schoolmaster. It showed them what sin was. But because it didn't make a change in them, oh, they had a hard time.
Oh, yeah,
it
was hard.
You know, like, let me go ahead and buy 2 turtle doves because I'm about to go tell off my neighbor. And I can't stop myself. So let me buy my turtle doves now. So I can go ahead and make my, like, I got my sacrifice, you know, lined up because I'm about to go off on Sister So-and-so. We still live like that a little bit. Lord, you're going to have to forgive me because I'm about to, you know, have my way, you know, whatever. But we're not supposed to live like that. Because unlike the people who were under the law, we have the Spirit.
Yes.
We have direct access to God. We don't have to go through the priest. Our priest is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And he is our sacrifice. Yes. And so since he gave us this better way, we need the Spirit. So they all work together. And I'm getting to that verse too. We need the Spirit to help us, right?
Right.
For it is not so. So New Living Translation. For the sinful nation is always, I like this, hostile to God.
Yeah.
Our little finite minds are hostile to God. The Spirit is like, oh God, I got to go through this to get to what I need to get to. And sometimes it takes the Spirit a year.
You are absolutely right.
To weed through all the stuff.
The junk.
The pollution, my mother says. It could stem from pain. It can stem from disappointment. It can just stem because we're just stubborn and we love our, it can be a whole lot of things. But all of those things come out of our flesh. And they're hostile. It's a hostile environment for the Spirit. Your soul is hostile. It's just, there's something, it's always fighting because, you know, because our bodies have not been redeemed. We're still very much connected to this earth. Good Lord.
Yes.
So our very existence is hostile to God until we allow the Spirit to make the changes in us that he wants to make. And even then, it's still a little bit hostile because there's still a little bit more I can do to allow the Spirit to work in me. I'm going to keep changing until he comes. So our sinful nature is always hostile to God. And then I like this in the Lord's Living Church. It said, it never did obey God's laws.
Yeah, you're right.
And it never will.
Yes.
I'll read that again. The sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That means God has to give me another nature.
Yes.
Because the one I had before never will obey God's laws.
Yeah.
It's not capable of doing that. So for all the people who, you know, I never smoked, I never drank, I never did this, I never did that, but there's something about you that's still hostile. Just because you're after the similitude of Adam.
Yeah.
Your very nature is still hostile because until you have the Holy Spirit working in you, you are separated. I don't care how morally sound your life is. We all need the blood of Jesus. Okay.
That's right.
This is my next verse. Okay. So number 8. So this, 5 and 8. So then they that are in the flesh, here's some more damning evidence, cannot please God. If you're not walking after the Spirit, you can't please. It's right there in black and white.
Right. Yeah.
You can't please God without the Holy Spirit. You're not capable of doing that.
Yep.
You must have the Spirit. It's not enough to know God's 100 names. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nissi, yeah, okay. But it's the Spirit moving in you.
Right, yes. Always have.
Yes. Elder Jenkins says she always said, thank God. We all need the testimony. New Living Translation. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. I don't care how many charities you donate to, how many women's shelters you build, how much money you send to Israel for the Jews. You cannot please God unless you're doing the things that are given to you by the Spirit to do. You have to be led by the Spirit. one more verse in this section. It says, but, number 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man not have the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So not only are you not pleasing God, you don't even belong to him. So if you're living a life that's not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, Bishop Smith said the other week, maybe we should examine ourselves to see if we're even still in the faith. Because the Bible says that if you don't have the Spirit, you don't belong to him.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
You're not even his. New Living Translation. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. That's a drop the mic moment. For all these people who like to pick and choose things out of the Word of God that, you know, that are okay, but that don't rub them the wrong way. Well, this should rub you all kinds of the wrong way. Now you see why David is begging the Lord, please don't take your spirit from me.
Yes.
I need your Spirit, Lord. Forgive me for what I have done, because I have got to have the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost is what's keeping me.
That's right.
Okay. Point number 3. The Spirit gives us life eternal. Life and eternal life. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And as long as I am a sinner and without the Spirit, I am separated from God. I know I keep saying that over and over again, but you got to get this. By not having the Spirit, you are separated from God.
Yes.
By believing on Jesus, the Spirit comes and gives my and gives me life according to, I can't even read my own handwriting, the finished work of Calvary. We need God's life. Because my life is worthless without God. I'm born dying. We are born dying.
Yeah, that's true.
So we have to figure out how. So God gives us eternal life. So he gives us life.
Yes.
And I differentiate between the two, life and eternal life, because he gives us life for now. You know, leads us and guides us and shows us what to do here. But he also gives us eternal life, such that when this life is over, that I will live eternally. I will come back and reign with Jesus. I'm living this life now to live again.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? So let's look at verses 10 through 13. I think that's where I'm going to be. Yep. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So the body is dead. There's nothing good in this body. It gets pimples. It gains weight. It can't sleep at night. It gets sick. It gets gray hair. It just does all kinds of unattractive stuff because of sin. Not to mention, that's just the stuff that happens in our body. Not to mention the stuff that we say, the things that we do, and, you know, the things mom says, the things that go on in our minds, you know, one day up, one day down, you know, in, out, up. The body is something. Our souls are something. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. That means I get to ignore it, because I have victory in Jesus. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Because I choose righteousness, I now have life through the Spirit. In the New and Living Translation, it says, and Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God.
Right, yeah.
Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. That means he's going to give you immortality. New and Living Translation. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal body by this same Spirit living within you. We have to recognize the power that is working in us. This is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And not just raised Jesus like Jesus raised Lazarus, because Lazarus had to die again.
Right.
But the power that raised Christ from the dead, raised him up into an immortal body. He was glorified when the Spirit got done with him. That's the kind of life that is living within us. That kind of power. That's when we have to recognize who we have become in Christ Jesus, because we have the Holy Ghost. That is our identity. Life. We can look at everything, every situation, every disappointment, every pain, every heartache, everything in our life and say, but I have life. Yes. And, you know, I listened to a lot of people, and one of the ministers I listened to, she was talking about disappointment. She said, oh, disappointment is just when things don't turn out the way that you thought God was going to work it out to turn out. But you're still okay. Mm-hmm. Because you still have life eternal.
Yes, you have the Spirit taking that away.
Right?
Right.
Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Right? That's a fancy way of saying so in the New Translation. It says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You have no obligation. You don't have to sin. You can go free from sin. But you can't do that without the Spirit. You can live free from sin. But it's a choice. And you have to allow the Spirit to come in and remind you, why I shouldn't cuss this person out today. I have to let the Spirit come in and remind me why I shouldn't lay down in fornication. Because my body is a temple for the... So the Spirit brings... How do I break free from addiction? By believing the Word of God. That I'm better than that because I belong to God. I'm better than that. And people say, oh, you think you're better than me? Yep, I sure do. I think it was Paul, one of them, to say that we, or maybe it was God, that we shouldn't boast about anything but by having him. I can boast about that. That's the one thing about my life I can boast about, but I have Christ. I have been redeemed. I have the Holy Ghost. I'm on my way to heaven. I belong to the kingdom of God. I'm going to live eternally with the Father and eternally with the Son. I'm going to come back and reign with Jesus. Yes. I'm going to have an immortal. You see what I have to brag about, Sister Shanna?
Yes.
I have so much to boast about because I have the Spirit dwelling within me, and I have been changed and I've been redeemed.
Yes.
And I have no obligation to my flesh. It can act up. It can, you know, I hope I don't get back up to 200 pounds. But even if it does, I don't have to have, I'm not obligated to my flesh. And you know what else? I'm not obligated to anyone else's flesh.
Right, yes.
Anybody who comes into my life and wants me to live outside or not align myself with God, if I meet somebody and I'm praying, Lord, because I don't want to die by myself, but whoever I meet, his life has to align with God's purpose for my life. We have to, you know, in order to walk together as one, we can't be unequally yoked, because I'm not a debtor to the flesh. I'm not in debt to anyone's flesh, mine or anybody else's. I cannot allow things in my life that cause me to become unbalanced with my walk with God, because I'm not obligated to that. I am obligated to God. Number 13. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die or be separated. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. New Living Translation. For if you live by its dictates, talking about the body, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. There's the key. You can't put this stuff to death on your own.
No, you cannot.
I need the power of the Holy Spirit working within me. So if you're, you know, of course, I wrote this lesson for new believers or would-be believers. If you're waiting on yourself to fix yourself before you come to church or before you give yourself over to God, that's laughable. Mm-hmm. You can't fix yourself. That's the whole point. Newsflash, God, and furthermore, he doesn't want to fix you anyway. He wants to make you new.
All right.
Because what you've got going on is broken.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It can't be fixed. Mm-hmm. It can't be revived. It can't be resuscitated. It can't be renovated. It can't be made over. Mm-hmm. You know, there used to be a show that came on TV called Pimp Your Ride. Remember that? Where they'll come get your hoopty, Antoine. And they put, you know, do stupid stuff to it, put rims on it, put a fish tank in the dashboard. You know, they do all kind of, you know, they pimp your ride. Well, God is not going to come and pimp your life.
No,
not. He's not going to add on to your hoopty of a life
and give you
a paint job and put rims on you. No, you have to die to that so that he can resurrect you and give you a new start. And we have to understand what that operation even is. It's literal in the spirit. It happens in the spirit, but this really happens to you.
Yes.
When you receive salvation and the spirit comes in, your old nature dies and you are reborn. Jesus told Nicodemus, you have to be born again. And for him, this was a radical thing. Really? How do I do that? He had never, we've heard that 1,000 times, but Nicodemus had never heard anything like that in his life. What do you mean I have to be reborn again? It means that the nature that I was born into is not, it can't be fixed, it can't be renovated. God has to, when the devil did what he did to earth, God didn't just come in and, you know, tear down a few buildings and build a few apartment buildings and, you know, make some new roads and, you know, replant some gardens. No, he let it die.
Let it die, yes. Everything.
He let darkness cover the earth and he just let it die.
Wow, that's a good point. Now that was revelation.
And he started all over again.
Yes.
And that's what he has to do in us. There's nothing good in me. There's nothing in me worth holding on to. No matter how much I love myself, how cute I think I am, how spectacular I think my personality is, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm an attractive person, not attractive on the outside, but oh, people just drawn to me because, you know, I got swag or I got this or that. God doesn't have any use for your swag. Matter of fact, it's probably the bane of his existence because if he could get past that, he could actually use you for something purposeful.
Right. And think to rally of yourself, yes.
Okay. So yeah, God's M.O., he said in the Revelation, behold, I'm making all things new.
Yes.
I don't need what you have. Are you kidding me? I made you. Yes. I already know who you are and what you have.
Yes.
But when you're not living according to God's will, that's, you know, he made a way for us to do that. So he sent Jesus Christ so that I can live out my purpose. My purpose is to serve and glorify God. Everything in my life, God is supposed to be glorified in. So maybe we need to do a checklist in our head of what we did yesterday. Did that glorify God?
Mm-hmm.
Did that glorify God? Oh, no, that didn't glorify God. You know, to think about our lives in that way.
Yes.
You know, how much are we allowing the Lord to work in us? Next point. Electronic stuff keep shutting down. Say what? No. Okay. That was 10 through 13. So the next point, point four, we need the Spirit to be God's child. This thing that we became children of God. Okay, so I'll read my point, then I'll say what I'm going to say. We became the children of God by the operation of the Holy Spirit, not just because we exist. We're God's creation. Yes, he created us. But I just told you we were born separated from God. So now something has to happen to us in order for us to be claimed as his children. We're not all God's children because we're human.
That's true.
We're all God's creation.
Yeah.
And we can be God's children.
Yeah.
Many are called, but the chosen are few. But until you have the Spirit, you're not his child.
That's true.
Romans 8:14-17.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't like the New Living Translation on this one, but okay. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And this one is okay. You know, New Living Translation says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So we can, by reasoning and deduction, what does that mean if you don't have the Spirit?
You're not God's child.
You're not God's child. People don't like to hear that.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, we're all God's children.
No.
Jesus said, I don't know them. You can't come to my family reunion. What's your last name? Is your last name Kingdom?
I don't know. Whatever.
You're not my children. For you have not received the Spirit, 15. For you have not received the Spirit of God, the Spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, New Living Translation. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. In other words, we are no longer under the judgment or under the penalty of sin that will cause us to be eternally separated from God. So we don't have to live in fear before God. We can now have a relationship with him because he is our Father. I can go to him and complain about my earthly father or my earthly mother. They get on my nerves, Lord. He said, obey them anyway. I'm just using that as an example. But I can come to God as his child, just like our children come to us. Mommy, I need. Mommy, I want. Mommy, they did. Mommy, mommy, mommy. I can go to God and say, Father, Father, Father. Father, I need. Father, I want. Father, I love you. Do you love me? Like my son says, do you love me?
Yes.
And he'll say, yes. I'm here for you. I'll provide for you. So we get that privilege when we're filled with the Spirit. But until we have the Holy Ghost, that doesn't belong to us. We don't get to claim to be God's children until we have the Holy Spirit. Number 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the Spirit is the one who says, yep, Lord, that one belongs to you.
Yes.
This is why we need the Holy Ghost. New Living Translation. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. We need confirmation. If you took Tekoa down to the post office to get her a passport, they're going to say, okay, prove to us that this child belongs to you. Otherwise, you cannot take her out of this country. Where's the birth certificate? It needs to be signed by both parents. Who is this child that you're trying to get a passport for? Well, when we get to heaven, it's going to be the same. Who is this child that's just trying to come through the gate? Are you claiming that one? Holy Ghost, do you know this one?
No.
Jesus, have you seen this one before? Depart from me. I don't know you. It's the same way with God created the parenting. Mm-hmm. He knows how to tell which one. Don't you know how to tell which ones are yours and which ones are not? Yes. I love Damascus, but that's her child.
Yes.
Wonder why it is when it comes to God, you know, people think they can just do whatever they want. But with their own kids, they don't let their kids just do whatever they want to do.
Right.
You're not going to let the co put trash all over your house. You're going to tell her, you need to pick that up. And what you going to do to her? She says, no, I like the trash on the floor. Forget you. I'm going to do what I want. Your blood pressure going to go up. Right, death has arrived for Tekoa that day. So why is it when it comes to God, oh, he'll just accept me the way I am? He will. But you have to change when you get there.
That's right.
He knows who his children are, and our affirmation that we belong to him is the Holy Spirit.
Right.
17. But this is a blessing in it. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, is so that so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Number 17, New Living Translation. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. That means everything in the kingdom of God belongs to me.
Belongs to me.
Because Jesus is my big brother and God is our father.
Yes.
Everything he has, I have. What do you think the Bible means when it says we're going to come? I don't think people realize how big this is. We're going to come back and reign with Jesus.
Right. Yes.
And what we do with our life now determines our assignment then.
Yes.
He may put Chandra in charge of Jupiter.
Yes. Sure.
You know, we're going to come back and reign with Jesus, the kingdom of God.
Yes.
We're part of that. We have a stake in that.
Yes, we do.
We don't have a name that is above every name.
No, no.
Although some people think they do. Mm-hmm. But we are going to come back and reign with Jesus. We are joint heirs with Christ. Yeah, that's the last one on that. But if we also share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. So you're going to suffer some persecution. You're going to have some disappointment. So I always tell people, there are two ways to go through life in this earth, because we're in earth. People say, well, why do bad things happen to good people? Because we're in this earth. And the earth is cursed. You know, God, you know, he doesn't directly, you know, commission people to go through things, but this is part of being in this earth. And you can go through it one of two ways. You can go through it with God or without him. So disappointment is going to come whether you call on the name of Jesus or not. You're going to experience death in your family. You're going to experience disappointment. You're going to experience pain. You're going to be irritated. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to witness tragedy. You're going to witness all kinds of stuff just because you belong, you're here in this earth. But the difference between those of us who have the Spirit and those who do not is that we have hope in Christ Jesus. We have something else to look forward to. Versus the people who, this is their hope, you know, they put all their, I don't want to say place their bets, but they put all of their hope in this life, you know, they're looking for satisfaction in this life. I read something the other day that says, we're not supposed to get but so comfortable here. That's the other reason why we go through things. And God knows that. Because we have to continually be tested so that we don't get too comfortable here. It's not designed for us to get comfortable here. Even people who are billionaires, after you get so much money, you're bored.
Yes.
You bought everything like Solomon. He said everything is vanity.
Yes.
Right.
It's like a puff of air.
That's right.
Right? So, next point. Wait a minute, did I want to read anything else? Oh, yeah. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the Spirit of adoption. God makes us his children. We get to call him Father. I said that. We have freedom to call him Father. People who don't have the Spirit are not free to call. They do it all the time. I like to give, you know, here's so-and-so, big rap star, gets up, wins a Grammy for the album that he cussed everybody out on. My first one, give honor to God. Really? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because he appreciated all that stuff he was saying.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
They don't have freedom to call him Father. That'd be like some random kids running down the street calling me mommy because Tamea called me mommy. No. I have one. You can come over and have popcorn. But you don't belong to me.
Yeah.
You don't get to call me mom.
Yes.
Freedom to call him Father. We are heirs. No longer someone who has to fear a slave. Because if you don't have... You don't have a spirit. You need to live in fear because you're going to hell.
Yeah, that's right.
We embark. I thought about it. I said, you know, the kingdom of God is not a democracy. And one might ask, well, how can you have freedom in a governmental situation that is not a democracy? Well, I have the freedom to not go to hell.
That's the mark of God's kingdom.
I'm free to do that. But until we're laughing, but seriously, until I have the Spirit, I'm going to hell. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. If the Spirit is not dwelling in me, there's only one other alternative. This is not a democracy. I don't get to come up with my view or opinion of what or who I think God is. I don't get to do that. That would be like somebody saying, oh, do you know Chandra? And say, yeah, I know Chandra. And they show you a picture of a white woman. And you say to them, that's not Chandra. She is definitely black. Unapologetically black. That's not her. So why do we do that to God? Oh, God is just whatever you think he is.
Yeah, that's what
He just has many names, you know. Some people think he's Allah. No, God is God.
God is God. Yes.
And his way is his way or the highway.
Yes, that's right.
One way.
Narrow is the gate, straight is the way, or however, whichever way it says. And broad, you know, that highway, go ahead.
Broad, yep.
All right. Point number 5. We need the Spirit so that we can come into or realize our future glory. We need the Spirit to change our mortal bodies to immortal so that we can live eternally with God, realizing our full adoption.
Yes.
Right now we have earnest, because we have like a down payment. We have the Spirit, you know, we have a little touch of immortality in that the Spirit dwells in us. Romans 8 and 13. I'm sorry, 23. And not only they, but ourselves. So Paul has just gotten finished talking about the creation, how it groans because it's waiting to be delivered from the curse, and we are also. And not only they, but ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of the body. So so God claims us, but we have not been fully redeemed yet. 23 in the New and Living Translation, as we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. Yes. Thanks of God. If you really have the Spirit in you, you long to go free from this body.
Yeah.
We don't rejoice in this madness, this foolishness of a body that we have, that fights and gets disappointed, that gets broken, that gets, you know, sick, that goes through all these issues. Like, you know, I'm having blood pressure. I'm getting old. Problems with this eye. Blood pressure. Joints aching. Back aching. Arm aching. Like, golly! What's this? Every year I gotta go get a mammogram because my mother had cancer. I mean, who wants to stay in this body? Why? We're fixing on it and shaping on it, getting tummy tucks, wearing makeup, buying eyelashes, buying hair. Trying to make the best out we can out of these bodies. We're trying to fix up our corruption. So that we can look in the mirror and feel kind of okay about ourselves.
Yes, it is.
And it says, we too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. If you don't believe that, then I wonder if you're so earthbound, I wonder how much of the Spirit, okay, I won't say you don't have the Spirit, but I wonder how much of the Spirit you've allowed to work in you, because the more you understand what we have to gain, the more you start to realize, I don't want to be here anymore. If we stay here, you gotta go to work. You gotta pay bills. You gotta feed your children. You gotta feed your children. You know, you gotta buy clothes. We have everything to worry about. Especially, you know, if you're single like I am. I'm it. I am the provider. I'm the priest of my household. That's a lot of responsibility. But when Jesus comes back, I don't have to worry about any of that anymore. We're going to a funeral this week. I won't have to deal with death anymore. Furthermore, I have a new body.
Yes, waiting on me, Jesus.
God promised me a new body. And that's hard to, I think that's hard to believe. Because, you know, we watch things like The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now that I think about it, until you're saved, you are The Walking Dead.
That's true. Dead man walking.
Dead man walking.
Oh, yeah.
But Sister Tacoa, we're going to get a new body. No more scars.
No more scars.
I don't have to wear a wig. You know? Perfect body. The way God intended us for it to be. I don't think that matters to people enough. You know, they're content with fixing up the one that they have. You gotta get a new hip. I can go on and on.
Right.
I told my mother, you know, you old when you call somebody, you ask them how they're doing, they go talking about body parts. Oh, I know. My knee been bothering me.
That's true.
got a cramp in my foot last night that wouldn't go away.
Been there, done that
too. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The new bodies he has promised us. But you gotta have the Holy Ghost, because he's the one that's going to change your body in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It's gonna happen just that fast. Bishop Smith taught us one time that we get it mixed up. It's not that the rapture is going to happen in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. He said he thinks that we're just going to rise like Jesus did and just rub it in everybody's face. You know, just. But our body is going to be changed just like that. Right, because it won't be able to rise otherwise. Number 6, the Spirit helps us with our weakness. Romans 8:26-28, and this is my last point. So, there's another scripture that says that God gives us everything we need according to life and godliness, right? Through Christ, in Christ Jesus. It's hard to think of stuff when you're in front of people, but yeah. So, while we're waiting, the Spirit helps us out. He says, I know you're dust, right? So likewise, the Spirit also, well, let me read this verse up here. Let me not leave this out. Let's start at 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is not seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And in the New Living Translation says, we are given this hope when we are saved. You don't have this hope before. You're just kind of hoping that God bails you out when you need a bill paid. Do you think Jesus, you know that song, you know what song I don't like, Sister Sharon? I don't like, work it out, Jesus can work, Jesus will work it out, Jesus will work it. I don't have a problem with the song, it's the ad-lib. So you got a light bill due, and you need a new pair of shoes. Jesus didn't come down to you because you need a new pair of shoes.
No.
I mean, he'll do that. But you know, the more I listen to that, I'm like, they have really diminished the work of Calvary. Yes, God will help me pay a bill from time to time, but there is so much more to salvation.
That's right.
My hope is in a whole lot more than me being able to call. I mean, I'm glad I can do that. But it's so that he can make me a little more comfortable while I'm waiting on my new body and my eternal life. It says, so we were given this hope when we're saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. We don't have our mortal bodies yet. So we have to keep hoping. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. So that brings us to verse number 26. Because of that, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, our issues, our problems, our scarcities, our shortcomings. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. New and Living Translation says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for because we're still learning how to follow the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. 27 King James Version. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. New and Living Translation says that we know that God, I'm sorry, wrong verse, and the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers. That's why David said, Lord, don't take your Spirit from me. I need him. Because when I don't know what to pray, he comes and he takes over. And he helps me pray in my heavenly language. Or maybe you just, oh, God, Jesus. The Spirit knows what you mean. And because the Spirit knows what you mean, God says, aha, okay, that's what they need. Because some things are beyond us. We get into situations and we don't know, I don't even know how to pray about this. Like, I can't even fathom. You know, and let alone, you know, we shouldn't be doing it anyway. Give God a suggestion for how to bring us out of it. Maybe that's why he puts you in that situation anyway.
Wow.
So we can stop giving him suggestions for how to work our lives out.
Our plan.
Says, so, and the Father knows all hearts the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. The Spirit also has a heart. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So now this brings us to the next verse. And now this maybe will help you understand what it actually means. 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. New Living Translation says, and we know that God causes everything to work together. Based on the scripture I just read, that the Father who knows all hearts, he's working for us. He sees the mind of the Spirit, that's working for us. And we have access to God through the Holy Spirit by way of Jesus Christ. Those are the things that are working together for our good. Not that our car crashed and the Lord worked it out. No, the Lord just happened to work that out. But that's not working together for my good.
No, it's not.
What's working for me is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Amen.
And we know that God causes everything to work together. Everything in my life works together for the good of those who love God and are called according to my purpose.
His purpose.
Right? You cannot live a life in Christ for God without the Holy Spirit. This is how these all work together. You cannot live a life in Christ for God without the Holy Spirit. I don't care if you win a Grammy and give thanks. You can give our honor to God all you want to. But unless you have the Spirit working in you, you don't even belong to him. He said, who are you? It's kind of like the little movie Green Pastures where, you know, it's this portion, and I'm going to look it up. But there's a scene where there's a soldier and he's praying, but God is like, I don't know who he's talking to. He keeps saying, you know, don't you hear me, Lord? He's like, yeah, but I don't know him.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the revelation they meant to put forth, because they were trying to make it talk about Jesus, because they were off on that. But I could just imagine God being like, well, they're saying God, but I don't know him. Holy Spirit, back to my example, do you know him? Yeah. No. The three of them work together for my good. These all work together for your good, and we can't have one without having all three.
That's right.
So that's my lesson. That this is why, so my title was, Sister Chandra, you weren't here, why I need the Holy Ghost for dummies. But I didn't want to fit anybody, so I changed it. But anyway, this is why David was so begging God, please don't take your Spirit from me.
Yes.
You have to have the Holy Spirit. Now recap. You have to have the Holy Spirit because it frees us from the power of sin. You have to have the Holy Spirit because he gives us an alternative way to live. He leads us in the right way. He aligns our lives with God's purpose and his plans for us. We have to have the Holy Spirit because he's the one who gives us life and eternal life, gives us everything we need in this life to be able to breathe life into our situations and go on. Right? The Spirit comes and gives me life according to the finished work on Calvary. We need the Spirit to be God's child. Can I belong to God without the Holy Spirit? We need the Spirit so that we can come into the realization of our future glory. We need the Spirit to change our body from mortal and mortal. How are you going to do that without the Spirit?
Okay. Yeah, you can't.
And furthermore, for all those who think they know God, okay, so what's your point for knowing God? You want God's stuff.
Knowing God's stuff, right.
But you don't want God's life. Yeah. You can't do that. I have, you know, like I told my boss the other day that I was going out of town because I had a death in the family. He said, well, my prayers are with you. I thought to myself, no, thank you. Because if you know, I now understand why the old people say, you that know the words of prayer, pray my strength in the Lord. Because if you don't pray in any other, it's don't pray for me. No, thanks. I don't know who you're praying to. So we need the Spirit, because point number five was we need the Spirit so that we can, like I said, they're coming to the realization, you got that part. And the last point was that we need the Spirit because he helps us with our weaknesses, right?
Yes.
God knows that we're dust. Yes. He knows that our frame is dust, and so the Spirit comes in and he helps us out in those moments of despair, those moments of trouble. He helps us, you know, want to do better. You know, our best life. What Bishop Bruno said the other day, he said he's tired of all these preachers that get, there's nothing wrong with preaching about purpose and having a good life and, you know, making your difference, because that's when Jesus came. He came and made a difference, and we're his disciples and his representatives are supposed to be a representative. He said, but your best life, he said, you ain't never going to be able to live your best life on this earth. He said, your best life is eternal life.
Your body, man, yes, too.
You can stand. And if we live our lives eternally minded, kingdom minded, with our view in the kingdom, and we have to live our lives realizing the value of that, the value of having God, the value of knowing God, having a relationship with God, and having gone under the operation, I started talking about that, the operation of the Holy Spirit that brings us into Christ's life, that applies the blood to us, that washes away, washes away our sin, and brings us into a life with Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for these people today, oh God. And Lord, I ask that you just wash us and cleanse us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, come in this morning, oh God, and work in us, oh Lord. Be among us. Lord, we invite your presence this morning. Lord, we lift our hands to you today. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus, because he's the one who gives us, made a way for us to have liberty to even lift our hands and say that we belong to you. Lord, we're thankful that we belong to you this morning, oh Lord. And we're thankful that we can cry out and say, Abba, Father. And Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you move this morning in every portion of our lives, oh God, and do something good in our lives, oh Lord. Lord God, fix things, Lord, and change things, oh God, and rearrange things, oh Father. And, you know, for that somebody needs something extended, Lord, extend things, Lord, that's me. In the name of Jesus, Lord, work things out, oh God. Lord, for those of us who are sick in our bodies, Lord, heal this morning, oh Father. For those of us who are cloudy in our minds, Lord, give us a clear mind this morning. Give us clarity, oh God, and understanding of your word. For those who are hungering and thirsting, oh Father, give them revelation this morning, oh Father. For those who have things in their lives that seem dead, Lord, send your spirit of resurrection this morning, Father. Breathe life into these situations, oh God, and cause us to be all right in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask that you touch everyone now that is under the sound of my voice, oh Father, that something went forth in the spirit to touch them, Lord, to convict them, to cause them to want to draw closer to you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, remove all fear this morning, oh God. Lord, and remove all doubt, oh Father. And Lord, confirm your word with signs, wonders, and miracles, oh God. And Lord, I claim these people, oh Lord, for your kingdom this morning, Lord. Lord, work in every one of us, Lord, so that we make it, Lord. And Lord, renew our hope, oh God. Lord, and revive our spirits in you, oh God. Lord, give us a new hunger, a new thirst, oh God. And Lord, fill our hearts with worship this morning, such that we are aware of you all the day long, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask that you would send souls into this ministry, Lord God, into every ministry, oh God. Lord, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I ask that you anoint our leader, Bishop Smith, this morning. Lord, give him wisdom, oh Lord, to make the right decisions and to make the right moves, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray all these things. And Lord, we're going to take up an offering. Lord, bless the offering this morning and multiply it, oh God, for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Lord, that your ministry would go forth and do what it needs to do, Lord, so that your word can go forth and reach others, oh God, so that we can make disciples, so that we are doing what we are supposed to do as representatives of Jesus Christ. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would send more youth to this church, oh God, to be in camaraderie with the youth that are here. Lord, we just need everything from you this morning. Lord, meet every need in the name of Jesus, Lord, because we know that in you we live and move and have our being. And Lord, you uphold things by the word of your power. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're going to take up our